So now we're going to switch to some more fun. You are now going to be able to ask one question to the other two people who are running for your seat. And you have 1 minute to ask your question and then 2 minutes to answer. We will start out with the three people running for your one year seat. And we will begin this session in reverse alphabetical order, beginning with Mr. Stevens, and go backwards. It'll be Mr. Stevens and Mr. Strong. So you may ask one question of Mr. Strong.
That is alphabetical order, not reverse alphabetical order, right? Stephen Strong, but fine.
I'm just reading the script. I didn't do it.
Okay, my question is perhaps predictable. Mr. Strong, I see from the official election pamphlet that you've lived in Kodiak for only 21 months, I suppose 22 months by now. And the statement in your pamphlet makes no mention of any prior hands-on experience with elective office. I've been here over 35 years. I've served on the Borough Assembly 4 out of the past 10 years. So my question is, would you agree that familiarity on the ground with the local community and hands-on experience in local government are important factors for a voter to consider when evaluating a candidate for the Borough Assembly? And if so, can you be rather more specific about what it is in your background or experience which you feel outweighs or compensates for what some might regard as your relative weakness in these areas? I do understand that you feel that you are a visionary and will present a unique, fresh, optimistic perspective, but I'm looking for something a little more specific about what you have actually done and where you did it and why that community was or wasn't like Kodiak.
Thank you, Mel. I appreciate the question. So the way I think about this topic is that I've been in Kodiak for about 2 years, and I don't necessarily look at the time that I've been here. I look at what I have done for the community in the time that I have been here. Of course, I've been involved with several different nonprofit organizations. I'm a mentor. I go into the jail about every other week as a volunteer to work with folks and try to help them transition back to society. And so what I've put in and committed to Kodiak in this short time, I think, is an example of what I'm willing to do. If I can do this much in 2 years, just imagine what I can do in 5 years and 10 years as a service to this community. And I have a proven track record of community involvement and community service in just the time that I've been here and in other communities that I've been in. I do bring a fresh and optimistic perspective to Kodiak, and I'm a problem solver. I can look at some of these issues here in Kodiak with a new set of eyes. And what I can do is I can offer this to the community. And I think if we want to get into specifics, I don't think I have time for that. But Mel, I'd love to talk to you after the meeting if you have further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Strong. Now it's your turn, Mr. Strong. You may ask Mr. Stevens a question.
This is a relatively short question. Mr. Stevens, what is your plan and vision for Kodiak's future? And if elected, how will you go about implementing that plan and vision?
Well, I don't know that I would characterize myself as a visionary. I think I'm pretty much a hardcore, let's do what we are supposed to be doing well, right? I would like to see this community turn itself around or staunch the significant out-migration of population that we are experiencing, right? And I think part of the way to at least start on that is to try to get government being smaller, more efficient, and more responsive to the local community. Hopefully that will make the cost of living go down a little bit, and we will start having more people move here than are moving away from us. We're having quite an outmigration of people. So I don't know if you call that a vision. What I look to is to have the government that we have here do the things the government is supposed to do better and cheaper than it is doing now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens and Mr. Strong. And these the two candidates that are running for a one-year seat on the Assembly, I'm not going to mention alphabetical order, but we're going to start with Mr. Simmons, and I believe you get to ask one question of either candidate.
Thank you.
You ask one question, and it's answered by the other two candidates.
Oh, okay, one question by the other two candidates. Okay, very good.
Thank you. I wanted the perfect question, and I had a whole bunch of suggestions, and today I found the perfect question. One of the major tasks that the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be addressing in the near future is hiring a new borough manager. Do you think the new borough manager should have the existing authority as our manager does today, or greater or less than, and why?
Mr. Crow, we'll start with you. I guess I better direct this.
Yeah. I think the manager should have enough authority to do his job well. No more, no less. I think the manager needs good direction from the Assembly and the elected officials. I think he works for the Assembly. I talked to our current manager, and he said he serves at the pleasure of the majority of the Assembly. I think it's important for the Assembly to let the manager know what is expected. As the public's representatives, we're servants of the public. We're not kings. We're not royalty. We're not saying we're going to take care of you. We know what's best for you. At least that's my philosophy in a political position. An elected political official is a servant of the people. The borough manager is the tool, and he oversees a staff, and he needs to be able to have the ability to manage his staff and manage his staff well so that it is efficient, it is cost-effective, and it gets the job done. The job that gets done should sometimes be set by the elected officials and their direction through the manager. Sometimes the job that needs to get done is just day-to-day administrative work. And so I think it's very, very important to have a good manager who's willing to listen to the elected officials and take direction on the general philosophy of borough governance. We need to respect the borough workers, and the borough workers need to respect us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. And Ms. Lynch, you're up next. And Mr. Simmons, just for the benefit of those listening to the radio, why don't you repeat the question?
Certainly. One of the major tasks that the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be addressing in the near future is hiring a new borough manager. Do you think the new borough manager should have the existing authority, as our manager does today, or greater or less than, and why?
I believe the Assembly needs to let the manager do his job. I think that the manager currently has the right amount of managerial skills. I believe the Assembly sets policy, and we need to set policy so that it is specific enough so he can do his job. I think it's important that the direction that the Assembly gives any manager is clear, concise, so that we're getting back what we think we asked for. So open communication. As long as we can have a manager that can take direction and come back with what we communicated it to him, I think then we'll be successful. But we have to let the manager do his job.
Thank you, Ms. Lynch. Mr. Crow, it's your turn to ask the question, and we'll have you repeat it again, and we'll start with Ms. Lynch. So your question, sir?
Yeah, I really didn't know what to ask, but I thought just ask a general question. How important do you think integrity and ethics are, and do you believe in openness and transparency in all government decisions and actions? Are there some things besides sensitive personal legal and personnel issues that should be discussed in private and away from the public's views? When I say that, is there are
Are there things that you think that that the borough should be able to talk about out of the public light, in the fog of perhaps, or not the fog perhaps, but just in the confidence amongst the members? So that the question is, integrity and ethics, how important are they to a candidate, and do you think to the public, and the issue of transparency and openness in government?
Well, I certainly believe that being on the assembly, or being a person in general, you have to have integrity. Integrity and ethics and scruples and all those other words. Being transparent, yes, that's part of being in government. Executive session, I believe that the body needs to go into executive session from time to time so that we can take care of important business that is either a legal strategy or that would affect the reputation of someone that we're giving an evaluation to. An example would be the borough clerk or the manager, because that's who we evaluate. So I do believe that we should be allowed to do that. We never take action in those sessions, so then we can come out and discuss what the action will be. But there are times that do require that, so.
Thank you, Ms. Lynch. Could you repeat the question, Mr. Crow, for Mr. Simmons?
Okay. where was that one? I'm sorry. I should have.
Oh, that's okay. Are you good to go, Mr. Simmons?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we'll just.
Ethics, and the question is about how important do you think ethics and integrity are to a candidate and to a public elected official, and how do you feel about the transparency in government activities and in government business and action of the elected officials?
I think of that Jack Nicholson movie that you make me want to be a better man. You know, promising. I belong to a fellowship that I'm really not at liberty to talk about because of Press Radio and Films. But there is suggestions that I have to lead my life in a certain manner to get to succeed in life. And it's pretty simple, that first part. And I tend to curb my behavior in public now that I've taken the position I have, because I want to meet those requirements. And absolutely, transparency. I have a dear friend who I thought I would see tonight in the audience that takes transparency to a whole different level. It's a spiritual transparency that starts with being absolutely transparent in all his affairs, and it carries him to another place that I admire so much. That private side, I love the assembly we have today for the most part, and I have my ears open like I've never had them open before, and they question these executive things. We have a couple citizens who question these things. And I will remember forever Luis Stutz pointing to a staff member, I will not say, not necessary, that you are not being transparent. And that clinched my support of somebody who doesn't pretend to know what it means or to not bring it out. I tend to bite my tongue early on in this experience of assembly. There is an eighth deadly sin. It's called self-control. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. Ms. Lynch, it's your turn to ask the question, and we'll start with Mr. Crow and then Mr. Simmons.
Over the past 5 years, the Borough Assembly has supported public education in Kodiak by providing between 92 to 100% of the maximum funding allowable by state law. What is your perspective on local funding for public education?
I think we're buying or paying for the best education money can buy. We are sure spending an awful lot for it. The public voted for an $80 million plus dollar remodel of the high school. The assembly didn't do that. The public did. So it must be what the public wants. I think the public may have been misled a little bit, and we certainly didn't expect to see the state in a fiscal crisis that it is, and we hope that it will continue to pay, because if it doesn't, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad.
I don't think the education should be a sacred cow. Sometimes if somebody talks about maybe we can trim a little bit or anything, then automatically the hands go up and the shouts go out that somebody is against children. Who could possibly, what an ogre to be against children. Well, I love children. I have children. I have grandchildren. And I think education is absolutely essential. It's an essential service that this community needs to support. I think if we compare the per cost child of the expense of our education, we'll find that that this community is very, very generous. I support education. I also don't think anything should be sacred as far as taking a good hard look, and I'm glad that we have a school board that is managing that issue. The budget of the school board is controlled by the school board, and it's up to the assembly to fund that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. And could you ask that question again of Mr. Simmons, Ms. Lynch?
Over the past 5 years, the Borough Assembly has supported public education in Kodiak by providing between 92% to 100% of the maximum funding allowable by state law. What is your perspective on local funding for public education?
It's our responsibility as the Borough Assembly to work with educational representatives to solve the budget problems, and our children do deserve a really good education. In my statement in the voter's pamphlet, I want to look for the most profound thing that affects everything, and it is our budget decreasing. It's real obvious that the assembly today is fully aware of that, including education. It's a tough thing to accept, but the CIP list is going to be real small this year, and we're not going to get those chunks of change. We, as an assembly, are going to be constantly expected to meet our educational budget. And there lies a problem within itself. Our educational budget expects the highest and fullest amount. I don't think that they're going to come out of dealing with the assembly in the near future as happy as they used to. Things are going to get squeaky tight. And the assembly has got to be prepared to do some disappointing. I think we can come close that for a while, but to guarantee that, to meet the expectations of our educational professionals, can't guarantee that.
Well, thank you, candidates. That concludes the questions for the Borough Assembly candidates. And so now you have just 2 minutes to do a closing remark, if you would, and we'll just go right around the table and start with you, Mr. Crow.
Looks like I get to start and finish. Cool. I'm just a simple citizen. I'm not a politician. I don't think I have some special intellect or genetic gift of genius that provides me with some kind of divine vision to know what's best for you. I don't try to imagine some kind of utopia that I need you to follow me to. I don't profess to be a leader. I'm more willing to consider myself a community servant. And I do have hope, and I am optimistic that together we can make a good community. When someone promotes themselves as my leader, it gives me the willies. I'm inclined to define their meaning as a line attached to a hook used to catch a fish. If elected, I will reach out and ask for your thoughts and ideas and opinions on issues as they arise. I do not believe that I already have those answers. I will not ignore you when you speak out during meetings. I will listen and I will hear you. I heard your opposition to the draft planning and zoning codes. I was with you. I hear your complaints about the recent 65% increase in our property taxes due to, quote, corrected appraisals, unquote. I am with you. I hear your concerns about the integrity of our elected officials and the lack of transparency in past decisions. I am with you. And to be honest, I asked a few other people if they would run instead of me because I felt they would have done a fine job, probably better than myself. They didn't, so I am. I'm no longer willing to sit back and allow others to lead me, my family, friends, and the rest of us towards some vision of theirs. I'm disappointed in the government we've had for the past 10 years, and I'm extremely hopeful and encouraged by the one we've been rebuilding since the last election. I believe our local government should be for the people and by the people. Thank you.
Mr. Kyle Crow, thank you, sir. Ms. Chris Lynch.
Thank you to the Chamber of Commerce and KMXT for hosting this event. I've been in office for 9 years, and it certainly is not unusual for old-timers like myself to make enemies. Some don't know me, so they find it easy to believe the worst. Let's set the record straight. First of all, I really am an engineer. I graduated from University of Toledo, Toledo, Ohio, with a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering. While I am not a registered engineer, I am a civil engineer. I collaborate with other engineers. I have been in the construction field for over 30 years, and I have my own management business. Secondly, I had someone say that I was paid $250,000 by the borough. That is not true. I was paid $50,000 for the work I completed. Let me explain. In 2012, when the borough engineer was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and had to suddenly leave his job, I received a call from the manager at the time to see if I could help. The manager contacted the borough attorney to make sure it was allowed. The attorney stated it was. So my company was issued individual purchase orders for several projects for project management services over a period of 4 months. Kodiak Island Borough was able to take advantage of my expertise and keep the projects office working on projects while barely missing a beat during the tragic yet busy time. During this time, I personally called several assembly members, plus it was discussed at work sessions and meetings. All assembly members and the public were aware of this work. In my contracted position, I never voted on any issues for any projects I was working on while on the dais. I recused myself and stepped down. I never sat at the table with the assembly when these projects were discussed at the assembly level. This was the ethical and legal way to handle this situation. Thank you for the opportunity to clarify this these issues. This misinformation is distracting voters from the real issue. That's my transparency for this evening.
Ms. Chris Lynch, thank you, ma'am. Mr. Mel Stevens.
I, too, thank the forum for organizing this event. I ask the citizens here tonight and those who are out there in radio land to tune in to please vote for me. I think I'm pretty much of a known quantity. I'm independent and outspoken. I feel that honesty and integrity in government are paramount, and I will not ignore corruption or cooperate in sweeping dirty little secrets under the rug. 3 years ago, I was uncompromising in opposing another assembly member's actions in charging the borough tens of thousands of dollars for management or consulting fees through an arrangement which I felt was improper and clearly violated the borough code. That didn't make me popular, but I did what I thought was right and drafted an ordinance which would have removed all doubt on the issue. That ordinance was defeated, and on one occasion, I wasn't even allowed to finish speaking about what the other assembly member had done, right? That didn't cause me to fold my tent. When it was suggested that the borough attorney had somehow vetted and approved the actions which I opposed, I moved to release her highly flawed opinion and all of the related communications so that we could have an open public discussion of the matter. My motion was defeated, but not my principles. I supported the initiative organized by Dennis Simmons and others, which ultimately passed into law an ordinance similar to that which I had been unable to get a majority of the assembly to pass in the first instance. Right. I vigorously opposed what came to be known as the shut-up ordinance, which unconstitutionally prohibited public comments at an assembly meeting which attacked or even questioned the motives of an assembly member or other person. I'm proud of those things. That is who I am. That is the kind of assembly member you will get if you will elect me. Now, that was a little strident. I apologize. In 2 minutes, it's hard to be mellow and laid back. Thank you very much for being here tonight.
Mr. Mel Stevens, thank you, sir. Mr. Jonathan Strong.
Well, thank you. I'm Jonathan Strong, and my plan for Kodiak includes, number one, affordable home ownership for regular folks, allowing our residents to build or buy homes to help families who want to remain in Kodiak stay together. Family and family values are the foundation of a thriving community. Two, reevaluating planning and zoning's role and removing barriers so property owners can develop their own affordable housing solutions on their own property. And three, Kodiak has a public health crisis of substance abuse that has been identified again and again as the number one issue in the community. in order for Kodiak to continue being the kind of place where you do not have to lock your doors at night, I will work hard to encourage our healthcare providers to utilize Medicaid expansion dollars to have on-island residential detox, drug and alcohol treatment services available for youth and adults. Also, as a borough, if we don't decide soon whether or not we're going to allow legal marijuana businesses in Kodiak, starting in January, legal marijuana businesses regulated in Juneau could begin selling marijuana here in Kodiak. Providing easy access to marijuana might not be the best thing for our community. I have a plan for affordable housing to sell borough land by using an ordinance already on the books to invite proposals to purchase land that benefits the community. The borough has been selling our land at auction to the highest bidder. This practice excludes the majority of people from the process. In my opinion, Kodiak does not need more landlords. We need more regular folks and families owning land. More individuals and families owning and building their own homes encourages prosperity throughout the entire community, as opposed to opportunities and prosperity going to the highest bidder. I'm asking you to vote strong on October 6th. Thank you.
Mr. Jonathan Strong. Thank you, sir. Mr. Dennis Simmons.
Thanks, Lindsay. Good job tonight. I am so spoiled with a three-minute citizen's comment. I still have not adjusted anything less than that. I thank KMXT also for contributing to transparency. I understand that the work session room will be wired recording, not missing anything that goes on there, too. Grateful to the participating citizens of Kodiak, to the people up here that give you a choice. Above all, Kodiak, please do your homework on its candidates. What we individually stand for or not, our tendencies, our beliefs, our decisions in the past. I hear giggling out there. Please stay involved. February 4th, Planning and Zoning Commission Board became a turning point for the people of Kodiak. This community came together, 750 strong, and exercised their voice in government like we never have before. It's a learning experience, folks. We shouldn't ever wait until the government train derails before we take action to change it. Help steer the municipals in the directions you wish them to go. We are yours. One more person involved really does make a difference. Just ask Bill Mann, Betty McTavish, Jamie Fagan, Kyle Crow, Scott Arndt, Neil Cooper, Nick Szabo, Judy Kidder. These are the people that have been out there for years alone. They have made a difference in this community. I guarantee you that. I can see that this community's possibility of having the best assembly it's ever had, ever. A great diversity of individuals. We have a couple Native voices right now. We have some seasoned veterans with good conservative influences. I got all kinds of time. And a mayor who listens responsibly. Do your homework, folks. Thank you.
Mr. Dennis Simmons, thank you, sir. Well, that concludes our roasting of the assembly candidates. I thank you all again personally for serving and for running to serve. And make sure you get out to vote on October 6th. And we're going to take about a two-minute break. Also want to, again, remind you of the call to action, Truth About Drugs in Kodiak, which will be on October 5th at the Convention Center, a roundtable discussion with education and solutions. And thank you very much. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.